Into a garage and beating up the night watchman. There was nothing else to do, the ringleader answered. We just got bored and wanted something to do. That's all. Boredom, nothing to do, is a real problem with many young people today. And the electronic devices that young people play on hasn't helped the boredom any. Nothing like the days of kids being raised on a farm or kids being given work responsibilities and maybe music lesson or some sports to keep them occupied and free from boredom. Life can be, as one young lady explained, just plain ordinary. And when life gets ordinary, you start looking for excitement. You start looking for cars and dates and crowds and entertainment and too often sin. Someone in Scripture whose life could have been ordinary if she had chosen that pathway is a teenage girl by the name of Mary. A teenage girl chose, or God chose, to become the mother of Jesus. Wow. You heard me right. A teenage girl God chose to become the mother of Jesus. You see, in the culture of the Bible times, Jewish girls married in their teens. And most Bible scholars believe that Mary was either 15 or 16 years young when she gave birth to Jesus. Today, I wouldn't let my daughter date at 16, let alone marry at 16 if I had a daughter. All right. As you know, Mary lived in a small town of Nazareth. Not the big city of Jerusalem, but the small town of Nazareth. Nazareth was located on a main highway, so she undoubtedly saw the Roman legions of soldiers marching past and the merchants passing through with their wares headed to a bigger city. And keep in mind that Nazareth didn't have too savory of a reputation either. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Nathanael asked Philip. In John 1, verse 46. So Mary could have said, life is kind of dull here in Nazareth. Not much excitement around here in Nazareth. Not much entertainment here. So I'm going to go to the big city of Jerusalem or Rome to enjoy myself. Can you imagine if she had made that choice? If she had, she would have become the prodigal daughter instead of the honored mother of Jesus. Yet Mary was the happiest teenager in Nazareth. She may not have had a large or fashionable wardrobe or a bank account or her own cell phone or whatever trinkets were popular to a teenage girl back then. But she was nevertheless a joyful teenager. Let's read her song this morning, known as the Magnificat, in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. This song, known as the Magnificat, comes from the Latin word for magnifies. Magnificat, Latin word. It's a Latin word. It comes from the word, the English word, magnifies, which we see here in our text and in the song of Mary here in Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 46. And as we read her song, you'll sense the joy that she had in her heart as she sings this powerful song to the Lord, showing us how well she knew the Lord and how well she loved the Lord, as we see here in this song. We're going to begin reading at verse 26 of Luke chapter 1, and then we'll come down into her actual song. Verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. And then we're going to jump down to verse 46, the beginning of her song of magnifying the Lord. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord." There's that Latin word, magnificat. The English word, magnifies. "And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud on the imaginations of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." Father, we thank you for this amazing story of Mary. Thank you for the angel coming to her and informing her that she would give birth to the very Son of God, Jesus himself. And she would be conceived in her womb through the Holy Spirit, not of any man. A miracle indeed. And then, Lord, she would sing this song of worship and praise and magnifying her Lord, showing how much she knew the Lord and how much she loved the Lord, and the joy that she had in her heart as a young teenage girl. We praise you for her testimony, and Father, for her example, and the lessons that we can learn even this morning as to how we too can have joy in our lives in knowing Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Title of today's message is Choose Jesus to Have Joy. Exciting, isn't it? God made Mary's life into a miracle indeed. Do you, my friend, want this same inside miracle joy that Mary had? Do you want to live an extraordinary life like Mary had? Or will you succumb to just living that ordinary, boredom-filled life? You see, it was all because Mary chose Jesus in her life that she had joy. This remarkable joy. Hence, survival strategy number 17, choose Jesus to have joy. You see, you can have the same inside miracle joy and live this extraordinary life by holding to the same sources of joy that Mary held to in her life. You too can experience this joy that she had. So here in our text in Luke chapter 1, we discover the four sources of joy. Four sources of joy that Mary had, that she held to, that you and I can hold to today to have this same miracle joy. Source number one of joy, the joy of salvation. The joy of salvation. You see, Mary was a saved teenager. And that is where, dear ones, real joy begins, does it not? The first miracle in your life, you see, must be the miracle of salvation. That is, of putting your faith in Jesus Christ and him alone. And this is just the beginning of miracles, if you would. Did Mary need to be saved? Absolutely, she did. You notice in verse 47 that she calls God her Savior. And Dr. Luke traces her family way back to Adam. Over in chapter 3, verse 38. The son of Enosh, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. Her lineage all goes back to Adam. Is that not true of all of us? You see, friends, that's the whole trouble. All of us are children of Adam. And so that makes us all what? Sinners. Sinners. Any of you here ever sinned? Any of you here never sinned, I should say. Any of you here never sinned? That's what I thought. We've all sinned, have we not? Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We miss the bullseye. We miss the bullseye of His holiness. We fall short of the bullseye of His holiness because of sin in our lives. None of us can come to God in our sin because He is a holy God. And that's why He sent His Son, born in a manger, so that He might die on that cross to shed His blood for our sins so that we can now come and be reconciled to God and be made at peace with God. Hallelujah. And I know, and you know, that we are living in a politically correct world that doesn't want to hear that we are sinners. But it's true. In fact, that's why Jesus was born in Bethlehem's manger, was it not? And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall what? Save his people from their sins. Is that not why Jesus was born in a manger? So that he might take on a body, being God incarnate, God who has a body, so that he could go to the cross. Had he not had a body, he would not be able to go to the cross. And that's why he came. Matthew 1:28 or 1:21. So keep in mind, Mary wasn't saved because she was singled out to be the channel through whom Christ would come into the world. No, she was saved because she too, like everyone else, trusted in Jesus. She trusted God's promise. How was any sinner saved? The familiar passage of Ephesians 2:8-9 explains to us how we are all saved, right? For by grace are you saved through faith. Not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift of God. So salvation is by grace, through faith in Jesus Christ. There's no other way. It's not through the church. It's not through my baptism or my confirmation or being in a Christian home or a Christian family or coming to church or saying my prayers. There's only one way to have salvation, and that's through faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. And that's the same way Mary came to Jesus, by faith, to experience salvation as a young teenage girl. So salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. It's that simple. And that is the way that Mary was saved. The angel said to her in verse 28 here of Luke chapter 1, and having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Interesting, the Greek word for favored here in our text is the Greek word charito, meaning to grace or to make accepted, to have favor. And it comes from the root word for grace, charis. And this is the word for grace that's used in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. And it means unmerited or undeserved favor of God. Grace. So the point is, Mary experienced here the unmerited favor of God in salvation as a young teenage girl. And in verse 45, Elizabeth, John the Baptist's mother, said of Mary, blessed is she who believed. Did you get that there? Believed. So she was a believer, Mary herself. She had put her faith in the Son of God. Do you see both grace and faith here in Mary's salvation? Grace and faith are both needed. Grace and faith are the secrets to the miracle of salvation and the joy of salvation. It's all contingent upon grace and faith, the miracle of the new birth, and yes, a miracle that brings real joy. And isn't that what our world needs today? Amen. They need Jesus. They need the salvation that only Jesus can give to them. They need the joy that only Jesus can give to them in the new birth. So my friend this morning, here this morning, or listening online or zooming in with us this morning, have you experienced this miracle? If not, why not? Believe God's promise of salvation to all who believe and open up your heart to Jesus today. And what a difference that will make in your life. Then you too will know the same joy that Mary knew. The joy of sins forgiven. Joy of being a child of God. And in His family forever. Source of joy number two is the joy of surrender. The joy of surrender. Note verse 38 of Luke chapter 1. Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word," she says. "Let it be to me according to your word." Do you see it here? This is surrender. Mary is surrendering her life to the will of God, found in the Word of God. This is surrender. And that surrender is the yielding of our body and our mind and our will to the control of God in our lives. And this is what Mary does. This surrender was costly for Mary. After all, she was going to bear a baby and she was not yet married. You can imagine all the skeptics and all the critics and the judgmental people. You can imagine what all the talk of the town would be. And Mary makes it clear that she did not know a man. Verse 34, she had not slept with a man. She was a virgin. And no doubt one of the reasons that she was chosen by God was because of her virginity. Oh, the blessing of a young woman who remains a virgin until marriage. Hold that standard high. You see, Mary's conception before marriage had nothing to do with Joseph. It was a miracle, as she was conceived in her womb of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit put that seed in her womb. So in spite of the gossip and no doubt the misunderstandings, Mary surrendered herself to her Lord for Him to use her as He saw fit and as He planned. So dear people, there is no reason for you to be afraid of surrender to God. In fact, there will be no real joy in your life until you give your life to Jesus. Till you give your all to Jesus. Till you surrender your all to Him. Perhaps the reason your life has been kind of humdrum and ordinary and joyless and boredom is because you have not yet surrendered your life to Jesus. He invites you to surrender your life to Him, just as He did with Mary. And Mary illustrates perfectly what a surrendered Christian does. First of all, she lived by the Bible. She lived by the Bible. Verse 38 says, "Let it be to me according to your word." In other words, she was devoted to the Word of God, to the Scriptures, and she was devoted to being obedient to God's will found in the Scriptures, and she let God's word and God's will control her life. Not her peers, not fashion, not the social media of her day, but her devotion to the Scriptures. So she lived by the Bible. And then, secondly, she lived to magnify the Lord, to exalt the Lord. And we hear this in her song here in verse 46, "My soul magnifies the Lord." Wow. As a young teenage girl, she was all about magnifying the Lord in her life. Regardless of what her peers thought, regardless of what her friends thought, or the crowd thought, or the in-crowd thought, or what social media would say, she was all about magnifying the Lord. How about you? How about me? Young or old alike? Are we all about magnifying the Lord? We'll not have joy unless we are in our lives. We'll go through humdrum, boredom, if we don't magnify the Lord. You see, her life was passionate about magnifying her Lord Jesus. Oh, that my life be passionate about magnifying the Lord Jesus today. Is Christ more important to you than anything else? Is He more important to you than your family? Is he more important to you than your friends, your peers, your money, your possessions, your time spent on entertainment, your electronic devices? Is he more important to you than any of that or all of that? You see, if Christ is more important to you than anything, you will surrender all you are and all you have to Jesus. And you will seek to live by God's standards found in the Bible, not the world's standards. And you will be all in for Christ. And you will magnify and exalt and glorify Him in your life. Then and only then will you have joy and not be joyless or experience boredom with life. Third source of joy, the joy of the Scriptures. The joy of the Scriptures. The amazing thing about Mary's song, if you notice it and study it out more, is that it's filled with Scripture. It's filled with quotations from the Old Testament. And Mary did not own a Bible. You see, the common people of Jesus' day didn't have copies of the Old Testament at that time. And so they heard it read. They heard it read and taught daily at the synagogue. And they would go there every day to hear the Word of God read to them. And although she had never gone through a Bible memory plan or been to Bible camp or Awana, yet she knew the Word of God. And she was able to quote it. I don't think any of us have any excuse today, eh? To not have the Word of God and access to it. And there's so much access to the Word of God today. We could list all kinds of things that help us to get the Word of God into our lives. But you see, the point is here is her song is filled with quotations from the Pentateuch, that is from the books of the law. They're filled with books of the law, the books of the prophets rather, and they're filled with Psalms. If you study out this song of hers, filled with Scripture. So let me say this at the outset. The happiest men and women and youth I know are the ones who know this book called the Bible. Did you get that? How are you and I going to be happy? It's by getting to know this book and the God of this book. There are those who have a grasp. How many fingers do I have holding my Bible to have a grasp on? How many fingers are there? Class? Five fingers, right? How do you get a grasp on the Word of God? With your five fingers, right? You hear it, that's one finger. You read it, that's another. You study it, that's another. You memorize it, that's another. And you meditate on it, that's five. To get a grasp of the Word of God. That's how you need to get a grasp of the Word of God. Through those five fingers, if you would. And then you'll have joy. When you have this kind of grasp on God's Word. Keep in mind, Satan's chief weapon is deceit and the lie. As John 8:44 warns, he is a liar and the father of it. And it's only the Christian man and woman or young person who knows God's truth and has a grasp of the Word of God that can answer the devil's lies and go on in victory and not be defeated by Satan's evil tactics and schemes. Do you remember how Jesus defeated Satan in the wilderness after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights and he was hungry and Satan came to him three times to tempt him? You know what Jesus did? He quoted Scripture every time. It is written, it is written, it is written. And he quoted from the Old Testament to Satan to defeat Satan. And so my dear brother, sister in Christ, the Bible is the best book ever written. How many believe that? Amen? Amen. It's the best book ever written, and it's a bestseller of all time. The Bible is. And you know what else? The best place for it is not on the shelf collecting dust or on your coffee table collecting dust, but the best place for this book is in your heart. It's in your heart. The psalmist David wrote, "Your word have I hid." That word hid means treasured in my heart, that I might not sin against you. You see, Mary was joyful because she hid, she treasured the word of God in her heart, and she honored the word of God in her life more than anything. Listen to what my preacher friend Warren Wiersbe said on this note. He said this: the men or women or young person who spends time daily in the Word is going to recognize the devil's lies and avoid the devil's snares and places, I might add, and enjoy Christ's best in their life. End of quote. And what surrendered Christ follower would not want that? God's best for their life. As we alluded to earlier, Mary's song was really composed of many quotations from the Old Testament scripture. She did what the psalmist had done. Psalm 119, 140, or 54, your statutes or commands are my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. The Bible was not a burden to Mary. The Bible was a blessing to her. Even God's laws were a joy to her. You see, that, dear ones, is a real test of dedication. Do I enjoy reading my Bible? Do I enjoy studying my Bible and meditating on my Bible and memorizing those Bible verses and hearing it preached and obeying the Word of God? Do I enjoy that? Mary did, as she would go to the synagogue every day to hear it read and taught to her. Can we say with the psalmist David, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation day and night. Do you want to experience this joy in your life and get you out of that boredom and humdrum of life? Get into the Word of God every day. You'll experience this joy that Mary experienced in her life. And Mary didn't even own a Bible. If dear Mary could learn much of the Word of God without owning a Bible or a Bible app or a smartphone, how much more ought you and I to learn from our Bibles today that we have in our hand and probably 3 or 4 or 5 of them in our homes, right? Plus the Bible apps that we have, plus the devotionals and the Bible commentaries that we have galore today. Behind the three joys we have already mentioned is the fourth source of joy, the joy of the Spirit. The joy of the Spirit. Church, don't be afraid of the Holy Spirit. Don't be afraid of the Holy Spirit. If you are a Christian, where does the Holy Spirit live? He lives where? Within your body, within your heart, right? Your body, since the day of Pentecost and your conversion to Christ, is now the temple or the dwelling place of the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Paul clearly taught this in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let me read it for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul writes to believers, and he says this in chapter 6 and verse 19. He says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So your body is now God's, and the Holy Spirit now lives in your body, so we are not to grieve or quench the Holy Spirit. We are to be filled with the Holy Spirit, amen? We are to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. You see, beloved, it's the Holy Spirit's responsibility to make Christ real to you and to help you make Christ real to your unsaved family members, to your friends, and to your neighbors. It's the Holy Spirit's work to reveal Christ in and through you to others. Keep in mind, it was the Holy Spirit who overshadowed young Mary and made her the mother of Jesus, having been conceived of the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 1, verse 35. Luke 1 and verse 35. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, will overshadow her, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. So yes, it was the Holy Spirit who brought the Word to her mind and who gave her a song to sing. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. There is simply no substitutes for joy and blessing of the Holy Spirit in one's life. Well, you might ask, what are the evidences that the Holy Spirit is in my life? What is the evidence of the Holy Spirit working in my life? Glad you asked. Because Paul lists for us in Ephesians chapter 5 these evidences, and there are three of them in Ephesians chapter 5. Let me read Paul's words in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 18. And you can detect here these three evidences of the filling of the Spirit in your life here in this passage. And he says in verse 18, "And do not be drunk with wine, which is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Here it is now. What's the evidences of the filling of the Spirit right here? Verse 19, "Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to the God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God." Do you see the three evidences there of the filling of the Holy Spirit? Are they there? Are they? Yeah, just nod your head that you see them there. Right? They're there. They're right here, aren't they? Look at it. There is joyfulness. That's an evidence of the fruit of the filling of the Holy Spirit. You'll have joyfulness in your life. Verse 19, he says, "You're speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." That's joy, right? Did you figure that one out? Does it sound like joy to you? I think so. You see, the joy in our life will be evidenced upon the song that we sing to the Lord. Not only on Sundays, but through the week, I hope you sing unto the Lord and you make a joyful noise unto the Lord. That's a sign that you are evidencing of the Holy Spirit in your life. It's a joy that you have. Secondly, there is thankfulness. Notice verse 20, "giving thanks always for all things." Are you a thankful person? Are you thankful to God every day for your blessings? And even for your trials? Paul said, count it all joy when you fall into various trials and temptations. Do we have joy? Do we have thankfulness? And then thirdly, there is submission. Another evidence. Verse 21, "submitting to one another in the fear of God." All three are evidences of the filling or the control of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life. Joyfulness, thankfulness, and submission. So dear Christian, are you filled with and controlled by the Holy Spirit? How will you know? You will know that you are filled with the Holy Spirit when you are joyful, when you are thankful, and when you are submissive. And if those things are not true in my life, then I need to get on my knees and say, God, I'm sorry. I've been running on the flesh and not on the Spirit. I've been walking in this flesh and not in the Spirit in my life. And I want to be filled with your Spirit. And I confess this to you, O Lord. And I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit right now. So that I can give evidence of this joy and this thankfulness and this submission in my life. So to be filled with the Spirit means to be controlled by the Word of God. Do you see it here? Because Mary knew the Word of God, she treasured the Word of God in her heart, and she obeyed it, then the Spirit was able to fill her and give her an overflowing joy and gratitude and a submissive heart to whatever the will of God was for her life, even to bear the Son of God and to go through all the judgment and the ridicule and the cutting remarks of people that she would receive. She was willing to do all that because she had this submissive heart to the will of God. What's the best strategy for experiencing real joy this Christmas season and into the new year of 2021? Answer, do what Mary of old did and choose Jesus to have this miracle of joy in your life. Here's a question we all need to ask ourselves. Have I let God make me into a miracle of joy and help me to live an extraordinary life like Mary did? Or is life ordinary and boring because I have not chosen Jesus? Have you, my friend, experienced the joy of salvation? If you haven't, you can today, right? Simple as ABC. A, admit to God that you have sinned and you've broken God's laws and turn away from that sin and repent of that sin. Turn away from it. And then B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he died on that cross for you. He shed his blood on that cross for you. And he rose again the third day to give you salvation and new life and to give you eternal life. And you believe that in your heart. And then C is confess. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 10:9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So whatever is in the heart, you're believing in Jesus, then you confess it on your mouth. You call upon him in prayer. You call upon him in prayer and you say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I've missed the mark. I fall short of your holiness. And I turn from my sin right now, Lord Jesus. And I believe in you. I believe you died for me on that cross. You shed your blood. And you rose again the third day to give me new life. And now, Lord Jesus, I confess my faith in you and I call upon you today to come into my life and to be my personal Lord and Savior. That's how we are saved. That's how we have the joy of salvation. So, dear Christian, have you surrendered your body and your mind and your will to God for Him to use for His glory? Do you spend time with your Bible opened, treasuring it in your heart as you read it and meditate on it, and memorize it, and hear it taught or preached? And if so, the Holy Spirit will fill you and will transform you from the inside out, from an ordinary person into a superordinary person in living a living miracle of joy for His glory and praise. Wow, who wouldn't want that? Who wouldn't want a life like that? Choose Jesus today. And every day, and you'll have that miracle of joy. And turn your ordinary life into a super ordinary life as you make Jesus your choice. Will you do that today? Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for speaking to my heart and the heart of each one gathered in, each one watching online or listening on Zoom today. God, I pray that the message of the gospel rings loud and clear through the life of Mary and her choice to choose Jesus and to accept and to surrender to you and accept the will of God, whatever that would mean for her as a young teenage girl moving forward. And thank you for the Holy Spirit that came upon her and overshadowed her. And thank you for the Holy Spirit that comes upon us and indwells us as believers today. And empowers us to live a life full of joy and thankfulness and submissiveness, and guides us and controls us in all that we do and say and think. So we thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we so much need that joy that Mary had. And Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit today and empower us to have this joy in our lives, that we ought to be the most joyful people on planet Earth. That doesn't mean we won't have our trials and our hardships. Doesn't mean we won't have our moments when we are sad or sorrowful. But yet, Lord, in it all, there'll be that joy, knowing that you are in control of our lives and that we have nothing to lose but everything to gain in following Jesus and living a life totally surrendered and yielded to Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.